Well, good morning. Let me pray one more time before we dive in. Father God, it is a joy to worship as your people. God, even as we gather this morning, some come in struggling. God, there is emotional pain, there is sickness, there is anxiety, and there is fear. But you are a God who is near to the brokenhearted. You are near to those who suffer and struggle and mourn. And you sent your Son to take on flesh, to lay down his life, to defeat sin and death, so that we can know with full assurance that every wrong will be made right, every broken body will be mended, every broken heart will be filled with everlasting joy. God, we ask that you would give us supernatural comfort and joy this morning as we behold Jesus. Amen. All right. How's everybody doing? Good? Just lots of you. He's good. I appreciate that. So it almost feels Christmassy outside, right? Awesome. It's cool. And if you don't like the cool weather, that's okay, because it's going to be 80 on Christmas. So welcome to Houston. So this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Christmas is only a few days away. The wait is almost over. Kids, are you excited?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Your parents never answer questions. So, but they laugh when I say it. That's weird. So what's crazy is that after all of this buildup and anticipation, all the planning and all the preparing, we will be back here next Sunday in this room and Christmas will be past. It will be over. We'll be planning and thinking and preparing for a new year. And for many of you in this room, this is going to be a really busy week. You have packed this week with Christmas cheer and family and presents and Christmas-like viewing and caroling and shopping and watching Elf while getting sick on eggnog, right? All wonderful things, except maybe the sick part. But if we're honest, eggnog, probably a bad choice, right? It got the consistency of milk, but it's called eggnog. Sorry, Brittany. I know you love the stuff, but if it were that good, we would drink it all year, right? Nobody says in the summer, let's get some eggnog. Like, it's disgusting. But that's just me. If you love it, you know, Jesus loves you. So, whatever the case, it's possible that we get so busy with the things of Christmas that we forget to actually celebrate Christmas. And I don't mean that we forget to open presents, right? Our kids are not going to let that slip under the radar. But that we get so busy with all the things that we do, we never slow down to just think about the reality that God sent his Son to take on flesh and live among us. Or what all of that means for us now. And so my hope, as we've talked about throughout Advent, is that we are intentional about slowing down, about carving out some time during this week to just think about Jesus, to worship Jesus, to dwell on the lengths to which our God went to save us. And as we read earlier from the well-known Christmas verse in Luke chapter 2, in verse 10, the angel of the Lord proclaims to the shepherds in the field, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It's this glorious proclamation that the long-awaited Messiah has come. The wait is over, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And we've read and we've heard these verses so many times, but what stood out to me this week, really 2 weeks ago, as I was reading through it, was this word, behold. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. See, behold. It's this Greek word that means look, see, stop what you're doing and listen. Stop and watch. It's used throughout Scripture to introduce a new scene or the sudden arrival of someone or to draw our attention into something important, something that should slow us down and pull us in. And if we slow down and actually start looking at Scripture, you will see this word everywhere. Look at Matthew 28, Jesus' great commission. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we have this epic call to action by our Lord Jesus to go. Or better put, that in our going, we are making disciples and baptizing and teaching all that God has commanded. And then Jesus says, "And behold." And it's hard to translate tenor or feel, like trying to read the tone of a text message. We lose something in these words, but there's this shift in the conversation. Jesus gives these disciples a tremendous charge about how they are supposed to live. And then it's as though he pauses and he says, "Now, come near. Listen. Hear this. Wrap your minds around this. I will be with you always to the end of the age." He's about to be gone, but he's saying, "I will always be with you." And so this is my hope for us this week, and honestly, every week, that we slow down and we behold. That we look intently upon Jesus, that we would think deeply about Jesus, that we would pause in the middle of the hustle and the bustle of Christmas cheer and worship Him. That we would think about Jesus, why He took on flesh, why He came as a baby. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time looking at this morning and talking about why Jesus came. And I want to look at one of the simplest and clearest verses that answers this question. If you turn to the book of John, chapter 1, as we saw last week, we meet John the Baptist, and he's baptizing people down by the river, and there had to be a pretty big crowd because the Jews were sending priests and Levites to question John about who he was, because if anybody else is getting attention, they don't like it. And you get to verse 29, while John was down by the Jordan with people all around him, and he sees Jesus coming towards him from a distance. And you know what John said? "Behold. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This baby, born in a manger in Bethlehem, is the Lamb of God. And He came to take away the sin of the world. Behold. And as clear as John's words are to us now, this statement by John the Baptist would have only made him seem more crazy than people already thought he was. The Lamb of God? A man who takes away sin? The Jews had been so embedded in this sacrificial system, and they had been so contaminated with prideful self-reliance that even their understanding of why the Messiah would come was tainted and skewed. They were looking for a nation-conquering king, but Jesus came as a sin-conquering king. They were looking for a king with pomp and importance, but Jesus came gentle and lowly. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And we see this reality foreshadowed throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. In Genesis 22, when Abraham obeys God and takes his son Isaac to sacrifice him, it's this really horrific story, but Abraham knew that God had promised that through Isaac his offspring would continue. And yet, here is God asking Abraham to put his son to death, to sacrifice him. But Abraham trusted God. He knew that he was a covenant-keeping God. And so when he heads up the mountain with his son for the sacrifice, he tells the young men that came with him, "Stay here. I and the boy are going to go over there and worship and come again to you." See, he knew that they would return, even though he had no idea how. And when Isaac asks, "Father, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where is the burnt offering?" Abraham says, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And God did exactly that. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." You see, Jesus was God's provision for us. God provided for himself the sacrifice that we could not give, the perfect, spotless lamb, his one and only son. And we see this foreshadowing in Exodus at the Passover, the blood of a spotless lamb placed on the doorpost and the lintel of houses. It was the blood of deliverance from the hands of the Egyptians, the blood of covering and protecting from judgment. It was a foreshadowing of God's ultimate plan of redemption. See, the whole sacrificial system, all the blood, all the sacrifices were meant to show Israel and to show us the devastating reality of sin. It was to make us a people who see the depth of our sinfulness and look to our gracious and loving God for mercy. Because God's plan was always to send Jesus for our redemption. It was the only way. And everything leading up to Christ's sacrifice and everything after is always intended to point us to Jesus, to behold Jesus. As Hebrews 9 verse 10 says, "He," that is Jesus, "entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." He is the Lamb of God, the final perfect sacrifice. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the final foreshadowing of why Christ had come is when he stands trial before Pilate, with the roaring, angry mob of people as Pilate offers to release Jesus or Barabbas. And they chose Barabbas. When Pilate says, "What then shall I do with this man Jesus?" And the crowd shouts, "Let him be crucified." And so Pilate washes his hands in front of the people and says, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children. His blood be on us and on our children." To which Jesus must have said to himself, "Yes, Father, my blood be on them and on their children. This is why I came." You see, we cannot separate Christmas and Easter. When the angel of the Lord proclaimed to those shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people," the Savior who was born on that day came to die. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, to offer his blood for us and for our children. And so the good news of great joy is that salvation has come through Jesus Christ. The invitation is open. Now is the time of salvation. If you don't know Jesus, he says, "Come to me. Come, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He doesn't say, "Get your life cleaned up and then come." He doesn't say, "Fix your sin problem and then come." He says, "Come. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, sin doesn't repel Jesus. It doesn't repel him. It draws him near. It's why the religious leaders hated him, because he spent his time with sinners. He wasn't rolling with the religious elite, but eating with sinners and tax collectors because he loves sinners. He came for sinners. He laid down his life for sinners. As Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Sin is why he came. And our God will leave the 99 to chase down that one lost sinner. He came to bring true and lasting peace, to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. And the call for every one of us is to repent, to turn and to trust in Jesus, to trust in the sufficiency of his sacrifice, in the righteousness that is now ours through him. Whether you are trusting for the first time or turning and trusting again and again, the call is the same. Jesus is saying, come, follow me, learn from me. This is the good news of great joy that is for all the people. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So let us be a people who behold Jesus this week. And every week, let us slow down and think deeply about this child who came in a manger, about why he came, and what it means for us as sons and daughters of the living God, bought by the blood of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, you are worthy of all praise. You spoke all things into existence. God, you sustain all things by the power of your hands. And you have redeemed us from death by sending Jesus as a baby to take on flesh and dwell among us so that he might lay down his life for the forgiveness of sins, taking the wrath of our sins upon himself and offering his righteousness. God, make us a people who behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.